So in this final module, module 6, I want to show you how you can actually manage your child's screen time without it resulting in tears and tantrums. Too often I hear parents who are so frustrated that their child's screen time often results in frustration and anger and children throwing techno tantrums simply because they don't want to switch off. So I'm going to arm you with practical strategies, and I'm also going to give you some understanding as to why your child finds it so hard to switch off from these devices. Really important that we remember the three core messages I have from this workshop and with all of my work, and that is that we have to make sure that children's screen time, their time with iPads in this instance, doesn't encroach on their basic developmental needs. We have to make sure they have ample time off screen as well as the time on screen being really beneficial and aligned with their developmental needs. We also need to teach them how to have boundaries, how to be able to switch off, how to have time off a device as well as using it purposefully when they're on the device. And we also need to teach them healthy habits where they can balance their green time and their screen time. So I want to really hone in on this idea of boundaries and teaching children about healthy boundaries. In this particular module, I'm not only going to talk about boundaries, but I'm also going to talk about why we as adults need boundaries around our use of mobile devices. I know this is a sensitive topic and one that I profess to not being perfect at all the time. It's definitely a work in progress for me, but having really clear boundaries and parameters about when and where I'll use my screens around kids. I'll also talk to you about why children have techno tantrums and some simple strategies to prevent the techno tantrum. And then we'll look at what the current guidelines are for screen time and then how you can implement some simple strategies at home that are much less likely to result in your child having tears and tantrums. So when we think about boundaries with screen time, and we're going to get to figures and numbers, I know we like quantitative data and specific amounts, but before we get there, I want us to think about when we have boundaries around our children's screen habits, why do we need them? Well, first and foremost is that when children use a screen, any screen, whether it's the iPad, the television, a video game console, there's an opportunity cost. Screen time is displacing something else. Now, if we make sure we're focusing on what children are doing with a screen and making sure that it is aligned with their developmental and their basic needs, then we don't need to fret. But if screen time is displacing or minimizing opportunities for other really worthwhile developmental needs, this can have a really detrimental effect on their health and their well-being. So it's really important as families that we establish boundaries, and most difficult, and the one that I struggle with sometimes, is actually enforcing those boundaries. It's great to come up with a plan, but actually implementing and executing that plan is often where we come unstuck. But what I know from the work that I've done with lots of families is that once we establish boundaries and enforce them, they do tend to stick over time, and it makes this whole process of managing screen time a lot more feasible and with a lot less resistance from children as well. So I mentioned that I also want to touch on our use of screens as adults. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not perfect at this, but we have to be really mindful that our use of tablets and smartphones isn't encroaching on our children's development. They've got mirror neurons that I talked about earlier, and these mirror neurons are exactly why they copy all of our habits and all of our behaviors. They are literally cognitively primed to emulate what we do. So it's really hard to teach healthy media habits if we are constantly tethered to our devices. Cheryl Turkle has written a book in 2015 called Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in the Digital Age. And she says, I'm seeing parents who are not stepping up to the importance of mentoring and to the conversations that will create empathy and a capacity for solitude for their children. She says that parents are often not serving as good role models, especially when it comes to showing children the importance of experiencing solitude and being bored once in a while. Children need to be bored. It's the gateway to their imagination. She says, if a parent's always turning to their phone in moments of boredom or in solitude, there's no model, and kids need this type of model. We also need to show them what healthy habits look like. Monkey see, monkey do. And so we know that this is a really important strategy that we have to implement. And this video from Common Sense Media explains this well.
I thought you said no tablets at the table.
Yeah, just give me a minute here.
was the birthday party?
With the gardening.
You have to send me some pictures.
You're not even listening to me.
How was your week at school?
We did all kind of topics.
Hello? Yeah, no, it was a good time. Perfect.
Are you?
So, a really powerful reminder that our kids are frustrated by sometimes our digital habits, and that we have to have boundaries around our use of screens. It's one of the best ways that we can promote healthy habits in our children. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that you should never use your iPad or iPhone or any technology around your child. That's not feasible and realistic in this digital age. But we just need to be conscious about always using them and constantly relying on them. We need to model healthy habits. So I now want to move on to techno tantrums. I've experienced this firsthand when my son, and it started when he was about three, and he started to use the iPad. He wasn't really interested in it, much to my horror before that. But around the age of three, when he started to use the iPad, and he was simply watching a couple of episodes of Play School and then playing a couple of games on the Play School app. And what would happen when I asked him to switch it off was really drastic. We would have the fits of tears, the clenched fists, the whining and whinging. And now this was a child who, thankfully, and count my lucky stars, had very, very few tantrums prior to this. But give the iPad and ask it to be switched off. My goodness, we had that full toddler tsunami, the tsunami of emotions. And so it's really important that we understand, firstly, I think, why children are having techno tantrums, and then to think about how we can potentially manage them. Now, if we think about us as adults, we'd like to think our brain architecture is more sophisticated than our children's. So we're feeling compelled to constantly be checking technology and using it. Do you constantly check social media? Are you checking social media the first thing you do in the morning or last time before you go to bed? Are you constantly compelled to check your email inbox? And we have to be really mindful that we are having, as adults, a neurobiological response. And the same thing is happening with our children. But we also need to be very careful about saying that children are necessarily addicted. And we'll talk about addiction in a moment. But what I really want to explain is why your child finds it so hard to switch off. So we know when children are using technology, particularly apps and tools that give them lots of rewards and praise. These apps activate the dopamine reward system. So this is where children are praised, they get a little squirt of that neurotransmitter dopamine, and they naturally want more and more of it. Technology is offering constant novelty. So that prefrontal cortex, that CEO or air traffic control system of the brain, is wired for novelty. And the online world that the iPad offers gives them that plethora of constant sense of novelty. And with technology, we all know the lure of Facebook, for example, and for children, it's often Minecraft and other apps that they like playing, gaming apps. There's what we call the state of insufficiency. There's this feeling of never quite feeling complete. There's always another email to read or another post to look at or another level to play or another thing to craft in Minecraft. So it's really hard for our children to actually switch off from these devices. And it's the exact same reason that we find it hard to do as well. So I think understanding that technology is definitely having a neurobiological response can help to explain why your child may have the tantrum. Now, it pains me to say this as a parent, but we also need to acknowledge that tantrums are an essential part of a child's development. It's a way for them to learn how to cope with frustrating, upsetting situations in socially appropriate ways. So it's not something we necessarily need to bypass, but it's something we need to manage. We also need to be really careful that we don't always provide the digital babysitter. I was at swimming lessons a while ago, and I watched a mother try and get her child dressed whilst they held the iPad, and it wasn't a mini iPad, it was quite a large one, because this child had threatened to cry if the iPad wasn't given to them. So we need to be mindful that we're not always placating children with devices and using the iPad as the techno babysitter. So this is the million-dollar question, and golly gosh, I wish I had a simple answer for you, but there really isn't a solution, a simple solution. There are some strategies we can put in place to minimize the likelihood, But basically, we need to be firm with our parameters and consistent with them as well. Someone asked me recently, is there an app to prevent the techno tantrum? At this stage, not that I'm aware of. And if there was, I'm sure there's someone out there that's very rich. But what can we do? Simple things like establishing a limit. And we'll talk about this further in this module, but coming up with a specific quantitative measure, whether that's the number of apps they can play or the number of levels they can get to in an app or another number of television episodes they can watch on the iPad. Establishing those limits first and foremost, and then sticking to them. The minute you give your child, you know, an inch becomes a mile very quickly. So your child that says 5 more minutes, can I just have one more level, one more episode? Your child knows that your word no doesn't necessarily mean no. The minute you give in and compromise on your parameters is the minute they start to open the floodgates. So we also need to acknowledge that, as I mentioned before, that tantrums are a normal part of development. So don't feel that you need to bypass this. You're doing your child a disservice if you try to ameliorate them or calm them down every time they have a tantrum. Deal with that surge of emotions that they're going through. Acknowledge that they're frustrated or they're upset. Often when they're asked to turn off the iPad, we've disrupted their state of flow. They enter this psychological state where they become so engrossed with what they're doing that the concept of time disappears. So this is why, you know, there's that sense of novelty, there's that dopamine hit, they become quite immersed in the experience, and then mum comes in and says, turn the iPad off. And it's a really abrupt end to that state of flow. So how do we manage this? We can have things like transition activities. So give your child a menu of choices, or perhaps two choices, or perhaps even having a board where you have a list of activities that they like to do, but something where they know that what they're transitioning from the iPad to. Now, obvious choices not to include are things like doing chores or perhaps doing maths homework. We want to have an activity that's enticing for the child to come off the iPad. So getting them to come up with a list of activities, or choosing activities, or giving them choice of activities that you know are likely to be appealing to them. So really important we have some sort of transition activity that will help get the child off the iPad. And the last strategy that I recommend to families is giving kids ample warnings. As I mentioned before, they often enter that psychological state of flow, so it's very upsetting if they're asked to basically digitally amputate themselves immediately, turn off the iPad, close that app. We would hate that. If we were immersed in some work and we entered that psychological state of flow, there'd be nothing more infuriating than our boss coming in and telling us that we need to attend a meeting urgently. So before we want our children to switch off technology, we need to give them lots of warnings. Sometimes that's where, and we'll talk about this in a moment, why clocks and timers can work really well. It gives them something concrete. But just giving them gentle prompts before, you know, it's almost time to switch off the iPad, 1 more minute left, or this is your last episode. And my final strategy is to actually get kids, and it's a simple strategy, but to get kids to physically turn off the iPad rather than you doing it. It gives them that locus of control, that sense of being in control and feeling empowered. So unfortunately, no silver bullet, but some practical and simple strategies to prevent the likelihood or at least the severity of the techno tantrum. But rest assured, you're not the only one. When I talk about techno tantrums in my parenting seminars, there's this collective sigh amongst parents that they're not the only one facing this digital dilemma. So I'm often often asked about addiction. And I want to start by saying I'm very reluctant to say that young children are addicted to technology. There are certainly exceptions to the rule, but I think it's highly unlikely that, especially amongst children aged under 8, that they're addicted to technology. Instead, I think they've formed some unhealthy relationships, perhaps an unhealthy dependence or an attachment to technology. But these behaviors can be changed. I think just because a child likes to do a lot of something doesn't necessarily mean they're addicted. And I often ask parents, if your child liked to spend the same amount of time reading, would you be as concerned? Is it just because it's digital and it's different to our childhood that we're necessarily concerned and labeling it as an addiction? Just because they don't like switching it off doesn't mean they're addicted. And in fact, we don't actually have at this point in time any standard diagnostic criteria for psychological internet addiction. So very unlikely that children, young children, are addicted. Basically, because children need to make a conscious choice to continue their actions, even though they're aware that it will have adverse consequences for something to be considered an addiction. And I don't think young children have the behavioral choice and the awareness to consciously choose to continue using a screen because they often don't know what the adverse consequences are. So in most instances, again, there are exceptions, but in most instances, it's highly likely that children have just formed some unhealthy relationships. And the good thing with viewing it like this is that if they've formed unhealthy relationships, these are malleable. We can change these behaviors. It's not necessarily going to be easy, but we can certainly help them to develop healthier behaviors. Now, I want to share with you some red flags, some possible red flags that may warrant further medical investigation. I want to strongly reiterate, if you have any concerns that your child may be addicted to any sort of technology, seek professional medical help urgently. If you have a sense of knowing or a sense of concern that something's just not right, that this isn't a healthy relationship they've formed with technology, go and see your GP and get a referral to a child health psychologist. So really important that we don't ignore this, but we also, we need to be alert but not alarmed. We don't need to have a panicked state that just because our child likes spending a lot of time with the iPad, that they're necessarily addicted. But here are some red flags. And again, these are not a definitive, this is not a definitive medical diagnosis that your child's addicted. It's just some things that you may want to think about in terms of whether or not your child's formed a healthy habit. So are they spending vast amounts of time engaged with technology? Now, there's no safe threshold or no excessive threshold. I'll talk about screen time limits in a moment. But basically, we don't want digital devices dominating their leisure time. Are they completely and constantly preoccupied by technology? Are they unable to sit anywhere and be idle without using a gadget? Are they withdrawing from regular social situations in preference for use of digital devices? Are they tired and irritable because they're not getting adequate sleep because of overuse of technology? Are they withdrawing from traditional activities that they used to like to pursue? So have their leisure pursuits changed? Now, this is tricky because kids do change naturally. Their preferences wane. But basically, if we notice a drastic change, are they restless, moody, depressed, or irritable when they're trying to reduce or stop using technology? Have they lied or tried to conceal the extent of their technology use? Are they using technology for increasing amounts of time to achieve that same level of satisfaction and pleasure? Is their technology use a way of coping with other or perhaps avoiding other psychological problems? And we're seeing some beginning evidence to suggest that children with some depression or other mental health issues might be gravitating towards technology because it provides them with a safer, more pleasurable environment. And has their technology use infringed on their school performance? So are parents and or educators noticing a decline? Again, any concerns, you should always seek professional medical guidance, but there are some at least things to contemplate as to whether your child's iPad habits are perhaps concerning. So screen time, what's the magical number? Basically, to ease your guilt, let me tell you roughly how long children are spending online. It might ease some of your concerns. So the average 0 to 8-year-old in 2013 was spending just shy of 2 hours a day, 1 hour and 55 minutes using screen media a day. And a study also came out in 2013 that said our 8 to 17-year-olds were using 7.5 hours of media a day. Now, a study came out in 2015 that told us that our preteens, so our 8 to 12-year-olds, are using 5 hours and 55 minutes of screen media a day. That's not including school time. So this is quite a significant amount of time. So I'm going to tell you that. Now I'm going to tell you what our current guidelines are in Australia. Now, before you fall off your seat when I share these with you, please rest assured that a study found the vast majority of Australian parents didn't adhere to these guidelines. And in fact, in my work travelling throughout Australia, very few parents or even educators know these guidelines exist. But these are our current Australian guidelines from the Australian Department of Health, and that is that for 0 to 2 year olds, there should be no screen time whatsoever. For 2 to 5 year olds, it's 1 hour a day. And for 5 to 12 year olds, it's 1 to 2 hours of screen media a day. Now, these guidelines were born out of an anti-obesity policy that considered all screen time as passive and non-productive. Now, I refute this claim. As this workshop has hopefully shown you, there are really interactive and engaging and educationally worthwhile activities that children can do on an iPad. My concern with these guidelines, there's a couple. They're based on research with passive use of technology. So it's predominantly based on research with TVs and DVDs. So these studies have shown that excessive amounts can obviously have an adverse impact on children's health and well-being and development. My concern with these guidelines is also that they consider all screens as equal, and we know that's not true. An hour spent creating a storytelling app, a book app, is very different to an hour spent watching YouTube unboxing videos. So what a child does with a screen is really critical. And as this workshop has also illuminated, when a child uses a screen is also really important. Are they using the screen before sleep or nap time? So we really need to move away from using time as a metric. I don't think it's helpful, particularly in this digital age where screens are omnipresent. These guidelines are also, I think they can lull parents into a false sense of security. If parents focus exclusively on how much screen time a child's having, they're not looking at other critical factors like what are they doing online and when are they doing it. And it's also, these guidelines aren't based on empirical scientific evidence. There's not been research done that proves that an hour a day for 2 to 5 year olds is a safe threshold. These guidelines are based on concerns about this displacement effect that I've alluded to. We also know that all children are different, and prescribing screen time limits purely based on their chronological age is not helpful. Children all have different tipping points, so for some children, an hour a day might be way more than what they can cope with, whereas other children can cope with that and perhaps a bit more. So to make life easier, I often say to parents, when considering screen time, ask yourself these three questions. First and foremost, what are they doing when they are using the iPad? What are they doing? Are they creating or are they consuming? Are they communicating or are they collaborating? And then ask the flip side, what's the opportunity cost? What are they missing out on? What are they not doing offline? And then the third and really critical question that we often need to think about is when? When are they using the screens? Is it before sleep? Is it before school? So really important we address these issues. Now, as I create this workshop, the American Academy of Pediatrics are updating their screen time guidelines. And in 2016, it's anticipated that they will revise their guidelines and no longer prescribe safe screen time recommendations. Instead, it's likely that they'll ditch their time-based recommendations and instead provide principles, guiding principles to help parents ascertain what's appropriate for children. So how can we figure out as parents what are safe amounts of screen time? Coming back to my first and important message is that we have to make sure technology doesn't encroach on children's basic needs. So I have drawn on lots and lots of research, developmental science and neuroscience to say, well, what do children need? What are their basic needs? And they're these simple things. I call them the building blocks. Kids need relationships, language, sleep, play, physical movement. Things like impulse control and working memory are these executive function skills, and they also need quality nutrition. We have to make sure that our child's screen time isn't encroaching on these. So to calculate your child's safe amount of screen time, if you want to come up with a numeric amount, I recommend using a jar analogy. So a lot like Stephen Covey's marbles experiment, we need to put the important marbles in first, and these are, in this instance, the building blocks. We need to put in children's building blocks first and foremost. Then the spare space in the jar could be the sand that we fill up, and this could be children's screen time. So we have to make sure that their developmental basic needs are met, and then we can fill it up with screen time. It really, really is important. My other key message is that we give children an opportunity to balance their screen time. They need time away from screens. Childhood's a really precious time, and we don't want to look back and think that children spent their childhood as a glow face using tablet devices. Time in nature is imperative for healthy development. When children are in nature, they often turn off, or they do turn off, their prefrontal cortex. So the CEO of the brain gets switched off when children are outdoors in nature and engaging in open-ended play. They often enter what we call the mind-wandering state, and neuroscientists are recognizing that this is a really important neurological state. This is where the prefrontal cortex turns off, so we don't need to manage our impulses, we don't need to commit things to our memory. We literally enter that mind-wandering state, and when we're in nature, we're not bombarded by sensory information. There's not alerts and notifications and sounds. We really get to slow down, and this mind-wandering mode is critical for problem-solving and creative thinking. And we need to make sure children don't have a nature deficit, that they are getting this time in screens. Away from screens and in nature. So how do we manage it at a really practical nuts and bolts level in our house? This would be a simple solution. Now, you all want one of these devices, don't you? And it is unfortunately a prototype. But apart from automatically turning Wi-Fi off, how can we get our kids to form healthy relationships with the iPad? So I'm going to suggest some practical strategies. The first one is to use media tokens. So giving your children specific amounts of time. And again, you need to figure out what is a healthy amount for your child based on the developmental building blocks. But coming up with a specified amount of time and then giving them tokens. So these are literally just milk bottle lids with amounts of time written on them. They're color coded. So the bigger lids are for 30 minutes. The smaller ones are for 15 minutes. And you can give them time. So you can say you've got 15 minutes today on the iPad. Here's your 15 minutes. Off you go. And they can see it can accumulate over the week. And so you can actually see how much time children are spending with the technology. Other strategies that work really well are things like coming up for older children, particularly aged sort of 8 to 12 years, are using printables, so media tokens. So you can give them a weekly scaffold or a weekly plan, and then they can proactively or retrospectively map out when they're going to use technology. So you might say to them, you've got an hour on Monday, none on Tuesday, and half an hour on Wednesday, and they can map that out. Alternatively, you could give them a quota of time. So you might give them 3 hours of screen time to use throughout the week, and it's up to them to divvy that up. You might specify particular days. It might be a particularly busy afternoon, and you just know that screen time will cause an extra drama. So you can specify days that are device-free. One of the best tools that you can use to prevent the techno tantrum is the clock that comes with your device. And I'm going to show you in just a moment how you can use this to prevent the onset of the techno tantrum. But children are much less likely to argue with timers, and so even simple egg timers can work well, or a clock timer or a countdown timer on the microwave. They're much less likely to argue with these. So I'd now like to show you how you can use the built-in clock app that comes with your device to help your child manage their screen time. Now, I showed you in Module 5 how you can use guided access to set time limits, but you can also just set them with the clock app. So if I launch the clock app and I go to timer, I can actually specify an amount of time. Now, I can set an amount of time, press start, And then I can go and launch any other app, and this app will actually run in the background. So even though I'm doing my Mathletics app, for example, the timer app is still running in the background, and it will sound a timer after the agreed elapsed period of time has sounded. The other good thing with this particular option is that it gives younger children a very concrete way of understanding time. Time's a really abstract concept. So for young children, understanding 1 minute is really foreign. But with this app, children can actually see the analog and the digital representation of elapsed time as well. Now, the real secret sauce here is underneath the option for the sound, at the very, very bottom, I have the option of stop playing. So now I can set my time, and after that elapsed period has decreased, the iPad simply locks itself. So the child is locked out. So there is no more 1 more minute to the next level. Now this can work, or it can sometimes backfire, again, giving your child really clear amounts of time and warning, and trying to get them to turn it off is obviously your first step. But if you have your child who constantly refuses or gets incredibly irate and frustrated when you tell them their time's up, sometimes this is a good tool to implement in the interim, so they understand that parameters are fixed and that they're not negotiable. We can also use some other apps and devices and external software to manage it. And I've looked at a lot of these, and the one I highly recommend is Family Zone. And Family Zone is a cloud-based platform, and you register your family and then you can subscribe to a plan, and then you can connect a number of devices. So this works for laptops, iPads, iPhones, video gaming consoles, and it allows you to connect a number of these devices or home networks to the Family Zone. Then you can set up parental control settings on all of these devices, and you can individualize it. So Tom might have a device and you're happy for Tom to access certain apps or use the device between 4 and 6 p.m. on a Monday. You can get very, very prescriptive and set up personalized settings, and you can have your children's daily routines, and you can modify the types of permitted or restricted apps and websites. The good thing with this particular piece of cloud-based software is that it works on a multitude of devices. So you don't have to worry about just setting up restrictions on the iPad. It can be a universal solution as well. So I'd highly recommend that you have a look at Family Zone. So really, really important that we need to think about coming up with a media management plan. We need to make sure that our children have a proactive plan. We need to sit down either with them or for them, but usually with them is best, and come up with a plan. And you've got one of these in your workshop that you can download and use for free. This is a plan where you can decide when, where, with whom, for how long, and how much time your child can spend with technology. Now, it doesn't always need to be a formal written document like this, but when it's written in black and white, those parameters become easier to enforce. It also helps you to remember. I know as a busy parent, it's often difficult to remember what you've agreed upon. So a media management plan can work quite well. It also means if you've got other people with your children, be it grandparents or a babysitter or a nanny, that the guidelines are very clearly laid out. Now, the trick with a media management plan is not only to do it with your child, depending obviously on their age, but to revise it regularly. Your children's routines and their habits and preferences change. So we also need to make sure that the media management plan reflects this as well. So what do we need to remember? Really, really critical that we remember to unplug. I've said it several times, but childhood is so precious. We don't want to look back and see that our child was constantly tethered to an iPad. We need to balance kids' screen time and their green time. They need time to build really robust relationships and to play and to move and explore. And we can't do this if they're constantly using the iPad as a toy. It really is about a balanced approach. It's about making sure our kids' basic needs are met and that they have opportunities to engage in all the precious things that are part of childhood. Remember Warren Buckleitner's quote about technology being like fertilizer. A little bit and the right sorts and the plant will blossom, but too much or the wrong type and you'll really burn the plant. And I think that's really critical. I have a book available from July 2016 all about raising your child in a digital world, where we explore what children really need. I unpack a lot of the research and make it digestible and practical for parents. What do kids need to thrive online and offline in this digital world? We really do, as modern parents, have to find healthy and helpful ways to use technology with our kids and minimize risks to their health and well-being. And I hope that this workshop has given you some insights into how we can leverage the iPad in particular, but how we can use technology in these healthy and helpful ways. We don't need to bury our head in the sand or ignore it or hope that it disappears. We can foster it and leverage it to use it in ways that will support our children's health and well-being.
This is Dot. This is Dot. She knows a lot. She knows how to tap, how to swipe, and how to share. But there's more to life beyond the screen. We all need time to reboot, recharge, and restart. So then we can tap, we can swipe, we can share. This is Dot. She's learned a lot.
And that is a book written, ironically, by Mr. Mark Zuckerberg's sister, Randy. But it really is about this balanced approach, making sure our kids get plenty of time off screen. And if they are doing that, we don't need to fret and panic about their use of the iPad. We also need to be mindful about what they're doing with the iPad to make sure it's the best use of their time. So this brings us to the end of our workshop. Here are my contact details. I really hope that this workshop has alleviated some of your fears and instead armed you with facts about how we leverage iPads in healthy and helpful ways with young children. They aren't going to disappear, so we need to find the best ways to use them without having to fret about the impact on our children's health and well-being. For more information, please visit my website. There is an Ask Dr. Christie button. On my website, drchristygoodwin.com, there actually is an Ask Dr. Christie button. So if you go under Contact and Ask Dr. Christie, there is the option for you to submit a question. Now, I mention here, I can't obviously provide personalized responses, so it's really difficult for me because of the volume of inquiries and for professional indemnity reasons, I can't provide an exact answer to individual questions. But if there's something that is pertinent to a general audience, please submit your question and I can respond anonymously. Obviously, your details would never be shared, but I can provide answers to your digital dilemmas in that way. I also have a wealth of resources on my blog, also on my podcast, and my website has a range of other tools that can help you with some of your common digital dilemmas. So until next time, thank you again for investing. I realize this has been a significant amount of time, but I hope it's been worthwhile in addressing how to use the iPad in the best ways with young children.